There he is.
There who is?
You.
Mr. Sandman. Oh. Bring me a dream. Making the sweetest thing that I've ever seen.
Okay.
Moving on.
Yeah. Already moving on.
How are you? Happy post-Super Bowl.
Yep. I'm Theo Vaughn.
I'm Matthew Cole Weiss. I've been a lifelong Eagles fan.
Yep.
Just kidding. I just found them the other day. And they were in the Super Bowl, so I had a great time last night.
I bet on the Eagles, actually.
You did?
I mean, the band.
To just, what?
Yeah.
To lose. To lose a drummer in a plane crash. Did that happen to them or no?
No.
That was Def Leppard.
I don't know if that's true either.
Both of them might be false.
Okay. What a great betting system.
Yeah.
Like, let's do, like, ooh, bet, like, who's going to die in a band.
Betty White, I would bet.
A band Deadpool? I like that.
Oh, a Deadpool, yeah. If you had to pick one person for a Deadpool right now, would it be Betty White?
I'll go right now. I mean, are we talking female, male? It's okay. Let's go female. Big name.
Why does it have to be female?
Well, it's like, otherwise I think it's too huge of a pool, you know.
Okay, female's going to die next?
Female actress, I would go.
Doesn't have to be an actress. Could be a singer. Could be
White or Rosie O'Donnell. And the Rosie O'Donnell one is just a hope. But otherwise, sadly, I would go Betty White. And I've had money on Betty White for a couple years now.
I think a lot of people. Every time someone famous dies, I go, but Betty White lives on. It's true. It's like, I mean, good for her. I'm very happy for her.
You know, I hope whenever, if she does die, that they take her blood out and put it into something else that's not doing well. Because she's got that ability inside of her, obviously, something special. She's a goldenness girl.
They should harvest that blood.
Dude, undeniably.
I mean, it's full of, like, stem cells and stuff. I'm sure that can help save people.
Begonias? What else do old women have? Who knows?
Bad perfume.
There you go.
Purses. Pets. With lots of chain in it.
Yeah.
Change in it.
Purses with mints in the bottom.
Checks for $13, that kind of thing.
Boom. Checks, period. Checks, period.
Yeah,
right. And that's little Anthony there, right there. How you doing, Anthony?
Doing pretty good, fellas.
So we are here waiting for Thomas Lennon to get here, who I'm a big fan of. Know him from The State from back in the day, Reno 911, or as other people call it, Reno 911.
Yes.
Gives it a whole different connotation.
I'm out of here. Remember that?
Yes, I do remember
it. I dip my ball.
But he's in like every movie.
Oh, he's crazy.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
You see him on TV shows, tons of TV shows.
Very talented.
And he's a writer and a director.
He's got like 70% talent.
He's on a new show on Netflix, or a new movie on Netflix called A Futile and Stupid Gesture,
yep,
which
is
about the making of National Lampoons, and follows Doug Kenny, who was the guy who created National Lampoons.
Didn't he go to jail?
No.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he died.
Oh,
wow. A lot of drugs and stuff going on. In the creation of and the filming of like Animal House and all that.
But anyway, good to see you, man. I'm going to Portland this weekend.
Oh, hey.
So I'm going to be up there if you
need
me.
I hear it's very hipster, very cool.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm intrigued to see what it's like. I'm going to be up there at Harvey's Comedy Club.
Oh.
So if you have any listeners, I'm just letting you guys know that I'll be up there doing comedy this week, Thursday through Sunday at Harvey's Comedy Club. And it's in the China District, I heard.
There's a China District in Portland?
Not dishes, people. Yeah.
Wait, China District.
Yeah, that's what they said. Yes, in the China District.
Of Portland,
yes.
Oregon.
Yeah.
Is it called Portrin? Is that bad? Portrin.
Wow.
Low. Matt, low.
Minus one for Matt already.
Portrin. I haven't even noticed.
You're making it worse.
Sorry. I don't know if you're supposed to change the R's to L's or just the L's to R's. What are you supposed
How
to do?
How do you be racist?
Paren. Yeah.
What?
Paren. Aragon. That's it.
There you go. Well, it's okay if you say it.
No,
great.
It'd be Portrin.
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 Okay. But would you say Do you change the R to an L, like Portrin?
Portrin. Horrigan.
Oligan.
It's Portrin Horrigan.
By the way, we're literally waiting for Thomas Lennon.
We're waiting for Thomas.
Half hour late so far.
And he's actually 37 minutes late.
37 now. Minutes late, which is a new record for us?
It is.
No. We had
Big Prisoner. What was that lady's name?
Big Prisoner.
Abby.
Oh, Abby Lee Miller. Yeah.
Abby Lee Miller.
Totally missed an entire taping day.
Yeah, the female dog, the bounty hunter.
Did you see? She's in prison and she lost like 100 pounds.
Did she really?
Yeah, she looks okay. Okay.
Well, we haven't fired Anthony yet.
Not yet. But listen, if he doesn't step up his game,
yeah,
we might be going to ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter. And ZipRecruiter's not a building, it's a website.
Yes.
ZipRecruiter.com.
And if you're in need of great talent for your business, but you're short on time, mm-hmm. you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools. Smarter tools.
Yep. Make your hiring process more efficient and effective this year. Let ZipRecruiter do it for you.
And it is hard. It's very hard to, you know, find good help.
Oh, it's
that sounded worse than I meant. I didn't mean it to sound.
Well, that's
that
okay.
Way.
Anthony's a legal citizen.
Oh, okay, good.
But it is it's tough to find somebody, and you want to find somebody good. And it's you can't. What are you going to do? Look through a million applicants online? No. You post on ZipRecruiter.com what you are looking for, who you are looking for, and they blast that out. They cast a wide net and they draw in the best candidates for you and serve those back to you. So when you do start going through the applicants, you're already looking at the best.
So it finds them for you.
Yep.
It doesn't just depend on the right candidates. It finds them for you.
Yep. It's a hitman, but for the best employee.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. Right now, our listeners.
Yep. You can get on ZipRecruiter and try it out for free.
That's right. Free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly.
Yep. That's ZipRecruiter. .com/allegedly.
ALLEGEDLY. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/allegedly.
Thanks. And they had a boy, I remember when I was growing up, they had a kid who.
Who is they?
Huh?
Who
this
is they?
His family down the street.
Okay.
Yuvas was their last name. The Yuvas.
The Yuvas?
Yeah.
I know them.
And they had this boy named Gert, was one of their kids, right?
Gert Yuva?
Yeah.
Dude, I think I go way back.
Is that short for Go-Gurt?
Dude.
Gert Yuva.
You ask him, right?
Gert
Dude
Yuva.
Had no arms, right? Zero arms.
Oh,
okay?
Stop it.
Swear.
Gert with
you
no arms.
You think everybody has arms?
No, I don't think everybody has arms, but
okay.
I think this specific fella that you're making up as we speak, Gert okay. Yuva, who had no arms, doesn't exist. But go ahead.
Oh, sorry. That Matt, do you believe that?
Offensive, Matt. People,
very
some
offensive.
People don't have arms. You don't know how Gert lost those arms. You don't know.
Right now, do you believe that Gert Yuva exists with no arms?
I mean, based off of his childhood stories, I could believe an armless Gert could be walking around.
Yeah.
If, based on his stories, everybody's armless or is missing some kind of appendage
well,
in
no,
your hometown.
Why? No, they're not, you creep. What an asshole.
Okay, go ahead.
God, man.
Yeah, your city's blowing up, the whole setting stuff on fire, Matt. Come on.
Yeah, sorry, you have one story about your aunt or whatever that just came back into your life and you guys aren't even talking to her.
By the way, I wanted to be back in Philly. I would totally riot.
Really?
It sounds like fun.
Oh, I was retweeting someone this morning. I thought it was awesome. It was the funnest thing I've seen in a while.
Like, they're like fun riot.
Yeah.
You know, not with like anger behind it, but with celebration.
They flipped a Prius. And
yeah, I was
going to
say,
cool.
I saw a couple cars getting flipped.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
As long as it's not your car, it's cool.
Yeah, then I'd be really upset. I don't know what I would do, but yeah.
But this boy named Gert.
Gert Yuva.
And I think it was Gertman or something was his full first name, right?
Got it. Keep going.
But he had no arms.
Yes, got it.
And he would, but he would fight people all the time. And he would basically, he could.
With his tongue.
No.
With
That's
his,
crazy.
What do you, why? Okay, guys.
He would like, he would snatch you up between his chin and his chest. He would like.
Like when you pass like an orange when you're playing
yes.
that game from,
yes,
from
just like
to
that.
Neck. Wow, he must have been wild. I mean, how, you can't get anybody in that. How are you going to get
somebody?
Oh,
he could do it. Dude, this kid was one of the toughest kids I've ever seen, dude.
So, Theo, tell me what else is going on in your life because.
That's it.
No? Yeah, that's it.
Let me think. I'll be in Portland this weekend. Outside of that, let me think.
Any new cool experiences or fun things happen to you?
Well, we're right here in the basement of the Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. I met Gerard Butler here.
In the basement?
Night. No, not in the basement.
Okay.
I met him on level ground.
And
they call him Jerry.
Yeah, that's true.
Blew my mind.
Really?
Yeah, his buddy came out, and he was here a couple of months ago, and I thought I was going to get to meet him. I didn't. I just heard he was here. And then I did my comedy show and blah, 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 but then...
Was he watching? He watched you?
Yeah, he watched. And then his buddy came outside. He was like, hey, I'm here, you know... his buddy and I started talking. He's like, yeah, I'm friends with Gerard Butler. He said he saw you a couple weeks ago, so we came back to see you again. I was like, oh, awesome, man. And then Jerry came out. And
Jerry? You guys are...
Jerry Butt.
You're on that on basis now?
Jerry Butt, dude.
Okay, Jerry Butt.
And
I've seen a few of those.
Yeah, I bet you have. Dude. That senior citizen ass, isn't it? That Jerry Butt.
That Jerry Butt.
But he came outside, and then we chatted for a while.
Yeah, about...
Yeah, it was really cool. We talked about... What we talk about?
He's a ladies' man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this guy. Oh, he had beautiful eyes.
I used to write a song about him.
Really?
About how he was the ladies' guy. Gerard Butler. Couldn't be any more subtler because he's Gerard Butler.
Wow.
I know. Try rhyming something with Butler.
Sutler.
What
Cutler
does that mean?
E. Cutler E.
Cutler E.
Late. What if somebody's very, very late?
Oh, he's here.
Wow.
So, Theo, can I tell you something?
Jesus, I probably don't have a choice but to hear it.
I've been sleeping really, really well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been sleeping very well since I got my Lisa mattress.
Ooh.
You know what Lisa mattress is?
I know Lisa's the first girl you've probably been with in a while.
that's the closest I've ever been to anything. No, it's an innovative direct-to-consumer online mattress brand that is also socially conscious. Yeah. So I feel good when I sleep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean socially conscious?
Well, it's driven by a mission to provide a better place to sleep for everybody. So Lisa donates one mattress to a shelter for every 10 they sell through their 110 program.
A shelter for what? Humans or what?
Yeah, humans. Yeah. Well, humans need to. Every human should be able to sleep on a mattress, and they make it possible. They've donated over 22,000 mattresses so far.
I believe that.
And they also plant a tree. Every time that a mattress is bought, they plant a tree.
Well, that's whatever, but I think that getting the mattress to somebody is super important. I do know this, that you can find out how they feel. They're at over 80 West Elm stores nationwide. So if you have a West Elm store near you, you can go try out your Lisa mattress. Then you can come back to us and get a discount on one.
You can also go to the Lisa Dream Gallery in Soho, New York City, and Virginia Beach. They're American-made mattress that ships compressed in a box to your door. So you open it up, it pops open, and then you can go to sleep. And now our listeners can try the mattress in their home for 100 nights risk-free with free shipping always.
Wow.
That's right. 100 nights. And if you use our promo code, you're going to get $100 off the mattress right now.
That's it.
Go to lisa.com/allegedly.
Get that.
And use the promo code allegedly. A-L-L-E-G-E-D-L-Y. And get your Lisa mattress and get a good night's sleep.
What are you sleeping on? What even mattress are you on, dude? You on right now on that freaking Simon Lupsberg mattress? What is that?
I've never even heard of that. No, I haven't.
You on that Jerry Kakadactyl mattress? Something reliable.
That's what my mom sleeps on.
Get something reliable. So, go to Lisa, LEESA.com/allegedly and promo code allegedly. $100 off that mattress. Sleep well. Well, I had a gallon of Benadryl in my car, but I'm out.
Did you really?
I had the pump stuff, yeah.
What are you pumping about? Let's start the show. Have we started the show yet?
Anthony.
Oh, we're going.
That's okay. Anthony.
So
Thomas just got here.
What the hell is happening with the gallon of Benadryl in the car?
It's flu season, buddy. It's allergy season. I'm not running willy-nilly out there.
Right.
I got histamines all up in my trunk, in my grill right
now. Now, do you ever find that you just straight up fall asleep while you're driving the vehicle?
If I feel drowsy, immediately I pull over.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But I'll wake up an hour later and I'm back.
Because it sounds like you're on as much Benadryl as like a heavy-duty OxyContin addict, for example.
Look, I'm not having to go to the clinic or anything like that, you know. I'm not on the Benadryl volleyball squad, you know. But yeah, I've been known to use from time to time.
I was on a plane with your friend last night.
Yes.
And a bona fide crazy person.
Really?
There was one of these people. You ever been on a plane with every once in a while you just get somebody who doesn't have the mental
capacity to
sanity,
fly.
The sanity to fly. Because flying puts people in a dicey situation. You're around everybody. You're touching a lot of people. They close all the doors, and then they go up in the air.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But that's a pretty basic sanity.
It is. Holy crap. There was a lady who was not okay. Just up, walking up and down the aisle, screaming at the flight attendants over and over again. Oh, it's crazy.
Did they kick her off?
Well, you can't kick somebody off in the air.
That's the problem.
It turns out that's illegal.
Very dangerous.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a weird scene.
Wow. I had an airport story last week, and I went home. And when we're in Philly, waiting for the airplane here, and there's a family there, and there's a teenager, and he throws up all over the place, right?
Point him out.
Gross. And I said to my brother, I said to Cody, like, I don't want him on my plane. And he was like, what are you talking about?
Of course.
Cody was like, what are you talking about? He just threw up. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe he's sick. He's going to infect us all. Cody goes, he could have just gotten off a boat or something. I'm like, who gets off a boat and fills
up? He just got off
of
a boat with the Hunter virus.
Fair enough.
Who gets on off a boat onto a plane? Somebody that's in Cannonball Run?
So, hey, bring it full circle.
I just wrote that.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
I was going to bring it up eventually.
Well, yeah, eventually could have happened.
Your first point was for Segway. Your first point was for dropping product placement.
Effectively
dropping. Any products of mine that we place.
Oh, okay, man. All right. Points. Let's get to a futile and stupid gesture.
Oh, my God. The big strong point on currently on Netflix right now. As we speak. Double. Oh, my God. Crushing it. Okay.
So, wait. The question is, did I say something or did I not to the flight attendants or to the people there?
About the SARS patient who was violently vomiting up.
Yes.
I'm going to add... I'm gonna give a point to myself for. I'm adding for the guy who is literally sharding and vomiting blood.
Pretty much. Did I say something?
Shamaning, and did I think that it's called shamaning.
Yes.
I'm looking at you. I'm seeing defined pecs. I'm seeing glasses.
Ooh.
Young Robin Williams. No, you didn't say a thing.
I think you did.
You walked
say
it
something.
Off. I think you walked it off.
I'm gonna
Anthony?
Go. Did
no, no.
You didn't say anything.
I did.
Really?
What did you say?
And
what an asshole.
We were sitting in the plane, and like a doctor comes in, goes to the back, and about 20 minutes later, they took the whole family off.
Oh, my God.
Because he was sick.
Wow. Good ending of
the
story.
You've never been guys, sick?
I don't want to be in a plane with someone who's got the flu. The water, I mean, the air goes through and recirculates. I don't want that.
Matt, you just ruined their family vacation.
Wow.
He ruined mine by throwing
get
up.
Sick.
And
here's what I'll say is the worst thing about it. So what you did basically is you shit on these people who I'm going to say are hardest working immigrants and lovely lovely people, and you just shit all over them.
Well, fuck
not
ever.
Only did... Well, first of all, wait. Okay. Guys, was I late for this?
Because only 43 minutes.
No, but my schedule said I was supposed to be here at 10 to 4.
Yeah, Rob thought it was 3:50 for some reason.
Oh, when sorry, he called guys. My schedule says that I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah,
not,
it does say that.
I'm not even supposed to be here for... like several minutes.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm
so
like several minutes. I'm several minutes early for something that starts at.
That started 45
to my knowledge,
minutes ago.
That starts at 4. Oh, so guys, you've just been doing this podcast.
We've just been chatting. I've been catching up with Theo. We haven't really.
Ready?
Like...
I'm going to read you my schedule.
Okay.
Monday, February 5th, 3:50 p.m. Arrive at the Comedy Store.
Hmm. Yeah.
Contact Anthony Martin. I'm going to give his cell phone. Ready?
Gucci gang.
Give it out.
Please,
actually.
Please.
It's Winchester.
Well, guys, I want to know what else is on
here. I've literally never been late to anything in my entire life.
That's okay. Don't worry. I want to know what else is on your schedule.
I would believe that. Yeah, I want to know that too.
You want to know what else is on my schedule?
Yeah.
Taped interview with the Allegedly podcast that starts at 4, which is 11 minutes from now.
Got it.
5 p.m.
Yes.
Rap.
Wow, there we go.
That interview.
Wow.
So in 10 minutes, I'll start talking to you for an hour.
Okay, great. Okay.
Then I will proceed to the Stephen J. Ross Theater at Warner Brothers.
Yes.
And I will go to the... premiere screening of the 1517 to Paris.
Ooh.
We were just talking about that.
And does anybody get kicked off of that just for having an illness, a child?
point. Theo gets a point. Guys, I would never have been 43 minutes late to your 1 hour podcast. That's insane.
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
But actually, right. I thought it was the fucking suavest move ever.
Who would do that?
Well, Abby Lee Miller. Here, that's the only person who's done it to us.
And then when I got here, of course, I'm giving you both a point because I was 43 minutes late. Then when I got here, they're like, they're get in the room, they're going. And I'm like, well, this is nice. And then they bring me into this lair, which is, did you guys see that movie Split?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, probably 1 to 10.
It's Splitty.
It's Splitty is the least. So remember how he builds like a dungeon to keep these little girls in it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is far nicer than this room. This place is disgusting.
Yeah, the dungeon was, I think, central air.
But the lighting, not much.
So everybody's getting a couple points from me being
and the lights are flickering
late.
A little bit.
Guys, I would never have been 43 minutes late. There's a very nice woman named Jenna who sent me this schedule, and I will literally have her murdered.
Well,
and I know that seems intense.
That is a little bit.
Don't do that. That's just kick her off of a plane when she's just not feeling a little bit.
So kick them off the plane. Both are, you're tied at 5 right now.
Okay.
So, I'm actually supposed to be I'll promote this other movie. I'll do a plug later and I'll give myself a point for that. So you kick them off the plane.
Yeah.
But I would argue that their horrible streptococci / hantavirus is already in the ether.
Yeah, probably.
So you did the two things. One.
Well, I did it before they boarded the plane.
Oh, they hadn't boarded the plane.
They hadn't boarded the plane.
Oh, okay.
When I said something. But then they got on and I was like, oh, fuck.
I'm amazed by people on planes who are just like.
I was just like, the balls of these people.
Oh, people that are French bulldogs? I am as well.
I was sitting on a plane with a lady about. Are you guys married and have kids?
No.
You're going to be.
Well.
The pecs and the Benadryl.
They just let me. It's okay if I get married recently.
Oh, did you just, what'd you do?
No, they're just gay, so.
Okay. Matt prefers to company of men.
Well,
okay. And that explains the pecs. I was kind of wondering. It was like way overdefined for guys sitting in a basement doing a podcast.
You mean
seek whom the crime and profits? By the crime profits. The gay bros at the Abbey with these beautiful pecs. So great. Matt, great looking pecs.
So now no, not
know,
married.
Now we know more about why you have these beautiful pecs.
Well, there is a standard you have to live up to.
Absolutely. I think, honestly, one of the reasons people – the times that I get Googled the most for being gay are the times that I really am feeling pretty good about myself. Like I'm keeping it together. I'm avoiding like the tons of like extra baked potatoes or the second baked potato, you know. Yeah. So I'm sitting on a plane with this lady, and so my wife and son, sometimes we travel up in the front of the plane.
Is that code for something?
In the movie Boat
Trip. What is that?
The nice part of the plane. We travel in the nice part of the plane. I don't want to say it because it's tacky.
Yeah.
So well, I was in the nice part of the plane when I kicked those people out.
Right. Well, you're gay. If you're not in the front part of the plane, what are you doing?
I'm the stewardess.
I heard there's a button up there. Whatever, I heard there's a button up there called turbulence for the people in the back. Is that
there is. And it just pelts you with Taco Bell.
Okay. So you're
so
with
So my wife, we're on this flight from New Orleans, which is because we just go there a lot. Mm-hmm. So she's across the aisle with the kid, and I'm over on the other side. So that's like when the other parents across the aisle with the kid, you're like on vacation. You don't have shit to do. The kids will keep bringing you wine. You can watch Deadpool 5 times if you want. Is that for me? Thank you so much. I'm dying. And there's literally a sign that says no water.
No,
and
no,
it
that
made me so sad. So I'm sitting in this this weird little lady gets on the plane and she's my seatmate next to me.
Oh.
She is probably in her mid-50s. She's about 5'4" and she probably weighs 90 pounds or 85 pounds.
I was picturing the lady from Poltergeist until you said that.
You ready? Do you remember in Pet Sematary, the lady who lives up in the attic?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who's got her name?
Fuck.
Nobody knows?
I know what it is.
She lives up in the attic.
Gertrude.
You got a point for being kind of close. It is Zelda.
Oh, it is Zelda.
Everybody gets a point. Matt gets a point for correcting me.
Wait, her name was really Zelda in real life.
Is it?
No.
It's just a weird little man.
No, but Zelda, the chick from Poltergeist.
Oh, that lady.
Her name in real life was Zelda.
Oh, I was talking about Pet Sematary.
Yeah. I think it all just came together. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, not what he's talking about.
The lady sits down next to me. Points for both you guys for being on track.
Thank you.
The lady sits down next to me.
We're tied still.
And she starts getting soups weird. And she kind of starts getting real fidgety. And she's fidgeting around. And she's got this iPad game where like it plays an orchestra's, like a symphony. Mm. And you have to hit lights as fast as the music goes. Mm. And I'm like, this is crazy. This seems like something that a medical doctor said, like, you're so fucking crazy. Make sure you carry this around all the time.
Whenever you have those feelings, start
when you
playing.
Have those feelings, start the little orchestra and start tapping the lights.
Yeah.
And then she opens a purse, nothing but those prescription bottles in it. Mm. And the first one she pulls out is lithium.
Wow. Ooh,
nice.
Which, as you know, is a pretty heavy-duty drug for the first date.
So were you, like, on vacation? Like, oh, wow.
Coming back on vacation. And then she starts rocking back and forth. She pops some lithium,
rocking in the seat.
And then she starts getting up like she's maybe going to get off the airplane, which is always a little scary.
Yeah.
You know, so she starts kind of twirling in her seat and pacing.
She's getting that itch, huh?
She's getting that itch
she's
to
getting
open
that fancy
the door.
Spine. Yeah.
She got that itchy Zelda spine.
Yeah.
Oh, guys. I'll never get over the fact that I was 43 minutes late to this thing.
I'm already over it because we're good friends.
Oh,
this has already been an enjoyable conversation.
How long
Thomas?
Do they go? So we'll just go as long as you want.
Yeah, we'll go about 40 minutes.
As you know, I don't need to be anywhere until I go to the...
until the Joe Ross Theater. Wait.
You were very close.
Let's talk about that, actually. Yeah. The 1517 mm-hmm. to Paris mm-hmm. directed by Clint Eastwood. Actually, no. Let's go back to planes for real quick. Since you are often fly in that class that we don't speak of. Who's been the coolest celebrity or whatever?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
This is not even, no question ever. So the first time I was in for a good first class seat, I look over and in the first class seat across the aisle from me is Smokey fucking Robinson.
Oh, they're going to say Smokey the Bear.
That wouldn't have been wonderful. Smokey the Bear. Shovel, jeans, no shirt, hat. And ironically, he's Smokey. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go on.
So Smokey Robinson's sitting in first class, and the stewardess comes over and she says to me, is there anything else I can do for you? And I said, I'll take a glass of red wine before we go or something like that. She's like, great. She goes to Smokey Robinson and says, is there anything else I can do for you? And Smokey Robinson stops her with those ice blue Smokey Robinson eyes, and he says, "Yeah, there's something you can do for me. You can tell your man I envy him." And I was like, that's the smoothest fucking thing I've ever
wow.
seen.
Wow.
And now, I don't know if she knew who he was, so he was just kind of like right. an older gentleman on the plane going, "You can tell your man I envy him."
Well, then it just is yeah. a little weird.
It was a little bit weird. She was like, "Okay." Okay, thank you.
I almost feel like
that
I need
was
to
weird.
I almost feel like I need to shave my legs for the rest of this conversation. That was pretty sexy.
That was sexy.
It was so sexy.
It reminded me of your Jerry Mathers story.
Please tell your Jerry Mathers story.
Yeah, I was playing in a poker tournament with Jerry Mathers.
The Beef.
The
yeah.
Beef.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan. My name, full name is Theodore, first mm-hmm. name. So, you know, mm-hmm. Theodore Cleaver, blah,
sure.
blah, blah. So I finally see him. I mean, I have pictures of him on the wall and everything growing up.
Wait, that's a whole other level.
Yeah, but it was the only one. It was like Nick at Night was big and yeah, Theodore Cleaver, Theo, the okay, chipmunk. That was Ego. It was Ego. It was all
what
Ego.
What about like Farrah Fawcett or something?
It was all Ego, Matt. It was me. Pictures of me naked on the wall.
Oh. Yeah. I got it.
Thank you very much,
and
Thomas.
And then the Beaver.
Pictures of me spread eagle in magazines.
Did you have any
funny,
other
I had those pictures too.
Any other Leave It to Beaver characters? Or, like, did you have Eddie Haskell?
I didn't mind Eddie.
Like Eddie Haskell with his cheeks spread on a Trans Am or something like that?
Well, now that we're talking about my
role. Hey, guys, while you're listening, just Google Eddie Haskell doing a nuts and butts.
Yeah, showing his Larry Applegate to everybody.
Oh, my God. It's just got...
Wow.
Oh, we just went down a rabbit hole that we might never come out of.
Look,
guys.
Don't even get me started on my three sons, all right? I'll fucking lay an Uncle Bub right on this table.
Oh, all right, come on. Okay. Jerry Mathers,
so you and
say?
The Beef...
So I walk up to him and I just say...
You and the Beef are broing out.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm...
What's it? Wait, hang on. Stop. What kind of buy-in do you have at a poker game with Jerry Mathers? I feel like it's... affordable without being an asshole, because I feel like there's games you go to and it's like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio's here, I should leave,
right?
Yeah, but then, you know, then there's games that are like, oh, the Beeves here, fuck, let's pants, we're gonna fucking pants the Beeves. I feel like you're the swinging dick in that room.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Norm McDonald was there. Uh-oh. So that adds a different side of the spectrum, but at least
God bless Norm. But hasn't Norm's wait, isn't he like a gambling, like,
I mean, oh jeez. This was a while ago.
Yeah, this was a while ago. Now, rewind. This was nine years ago.
He's a very funny dude.
Very, very funny man.
Lovely dude.
So, anyhow, so I go up to Jerry Mathers. I start saying, he's like, "Where do you live?" I say, "Santa Monica." And he leans in and he goes.
Humble brag.
Yeah.
You gotta be an asshole. You gotta be like, "There's some fucking Beavers here. I can't wait to tell them I live someplace fancy." Yeah. Hey, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Okay, does Jerry Mathers care?
He goes, "I used to get some pussy in Santa Monica." Exactly what he says, Thomas. 100%.
Okay. Now, we're 100% sure this was the Beaver,
and the
right?
last little...
Are we on live right now?
No.
When I said the radio, you can tell that I'm 47 years old, because that's not the radio, guys. We know it's
Look,
not the radio.
Thomas got up out of his seat laughing and came back to his seat.
So the Beaver,
kind of like an urban woman laughs, you know, or urban man.
The Beaver... Wait, first of all, Santa Monica is too big of a venue for you to say, "I used to get some pussy." That's like saying, "I used to get some pussy in New England." It's just too...
North America.
It's not like a neighbor. It's not a neighborhood.
I used to catch a little clam around Rome.
Right, so like that's a giant venue. It's too far, it's too big.
Yeah.
Well,
Look, I agree. I couldn't get a war with him.
You were bragging that you lived in Santa Monica. He was bragging that he used to get tons of that leftover Eddie Haskell pussy. Oh,
yeah.
This happened on the earth that we live on now, right?
Apparently.
This
he
was
out there.
Same earth that we live on.
Okay. Apparently.
Hunting that warded cleaver out there,
oh,
boy.
You know?
Well, good story. Good
that
story.
That was a great, great story. Can we talk about anything specific on the podcast?
We can talk about anything.
I'm supposed to promote. I'm in a movie that's coming out really soon.
Well, I want to talk about the other one first.
Well, I'm in that one first, and I'm in this other one, too.
Okay.
I want to talk about actually three of them. We want to talk about Futile. I want to talk about 1517.
Sure. Let's talk about that.
So this is directed by Clint Eastwood.
Yes.
And it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is the...
True story.
True story and the...
Yes.
Obviously not you, but most of the actors are playing themselves, or not actors, but they're the people who are on
the... The three Marines who were involved in the actual incident play themselves, which is crazy.
That's dicey.
Yeah.
That could go either way, right?
I am really curious about it, but I don't know. I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm going to see it tonight.
Oh, but
What I will say is Clint Eastwood doesn't make bad movies Really? So, oh, what's Thomas. On face four? Well, okay, wow. Let's go back. Which one was terrible?
Yeah,
he doesn't like Clint. He doesn't like Clint.
You don't like Clint at all?
No, I love his son. Jesus, God, okay. Eastwood. But that's was not he on Clint. Set at all?
That's very specifically you not saying that. Yeah. Loves Clint. So here's
my dad
now,
loves
let's
Clint.
Let's get into this because this is a let's get into this. This not is really important.
I grew up like as like Clint Eastwood was the definition of masculinity. Actually, is like oh. Mm-hmm. That Clint Eastwood. I don't know. Maybe that's why I don't like him.
But did you not like him because you feel like he wouldn't like you?
No, not at all.
Look at his juicy pecs. Son of a bitch.
Look at his.
He could treat a lady so good with these glistening pecs, and now he's just robbed us. He's stolen his gift, the gift of fire, and he's hiding it out in a... taking it out.
I'd like to kick all the sick girls off his plane.
Here's what I'll say. Okay, so I, going into it, as you know, I'm a fairly left-wing dandy.
Yes.
You've probably met me. Yeah, I mean, you've seen
no,
me.
No, but I work...
My stuff runs real.
I work
real.
For TMZ, and we love you.
Look, he's played Harvey Milk
in
local
You work for TMZ
theater,
now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm on TMZ a lot.
Yeah, we love you. You're my favorite
there you go.
Person to get.
I have an ongoing thing with Harvey, yeah. So now a couple years ago, Clint... Clint's 89 years old, and he did that cuckoo thing with the chair and everything, and he was talking to the chair.
Oh, yeah.
Like, remember
oh,
when
yeah,
Romney
of course.
Was running? Romney, by the way, who right now seems like James Dean, basically.
True.
Mitt Romney is my memory of what James Dean was like, is what Mitt Romney is.
Fair enough.
Basically.
And also is named after Mitten, which is
fascinating. Is his name Mitten Romney?
Isn't that crazy?
That can't be
no,
true.
No,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah,
his name is
Mitten. Mitten. Well, shit.
Mitten, that's the only way you spell
Thank
mitten.
You for the correct spelling.
The correct
of
spelling
mitten.
Of the only way to spell mitten.
People could do it differently.
Anthony,
okay.
You spell it different.
Anyway, so that was weird.
Too
and
soon.
It was weird, and it was weird.
Plenty
and I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm not going to get along with him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, maybe, because he's very imposing cat.
Well, and also the image you get of him is like that grouchy
the image you get of
kind
him
of like.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
It's the, everyone's done great impressions of him, but, right. So. Here's how it actually goes. You have to audition for Clint Eastwood,
wow.
Just because unless you're Tom Hanks, I guess. But every role I know, even like Judy Greer and Jenna Fisher and Tony Hale, they all auditioned to be in the movie, which I did too. And there's no offers for like any roles. You just have to go show that you can do it. And so you go into his office, and I did it, and I was like, "This is weird. Do I care? He's gonna hate me anyway." So went and auditioned, and. Heard later that I got the part, which and I was like, okay. And then...
This sounds like a very... it's not a comedy.
Fuck. So scary. It's scary
you
as
You think
hell.
Of Thomas Lennon and you think of comedy.
Yeah,
you think
and
of
then Ryan Tony, and Tony Hale.
And Tony Hale and Jenna
and
Fisher.
And Jenna Fisher.
From the
it
office.
Is a bunch of wackadoos.
But this is a very serious...
A goddamn bloodbath.
Okay.
Bloodbath.
Yeah. But this was the surprise. So, you know, go there and they say, you know, he goes really fast. Like super fast. So like you're never going to get extra takes or don't fuck around just because
when
you're
filming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes crazy fast.
Well, he doesn't have much time anymore.
Just like Michael Douglas.
I'm taking away one of your points. Michael Douglas, talking about a guy who ate so much pussy.
That he got cancer from
literally
it.
He literally.
Yes, he did. Got cancer from eating
blow through a throat,
is that,
dude.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Bad strain. He caught a bad strain, dude. We've all been there.
Wait, I haven't been
when
there.
He said we've all been there.
I haven't been
the
there.
The first thing he said is you drive around with gallons of Benadryl in the car. Then you'd never stop bragging about hanging out with the beef, which is crazy.
In Santa Monica, nonetheless.
Well,
okay.
So
okay.
Apparently, I don't hang out with it as much as
so
Michael Douglas.
Oh my God,
I'm
Santa,
I keep interrupting you.
That Santa Monica is going to get you.
So get there. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm scared of Clint Eastwood. He's got this big old, like, he's got like a bus, like a movie star. Trailer
yeah.
And it's got like barbells out in front of it.
Yeah.
He's 89 years old.
Jeez.
I got the bands maybe and I'm just doing like it's so easy to and but no, not Clint Flick and Eastwood. He's got fucking barbells outside the door of his bus. And then he was hilarious. And I don't mean kind of. Like I have a pretty
really?
He was really funny. We had an amazing day. The first thing I was sitting there and I'm like, I always like to test people to see if they're funny.
Yeah.
You know, because you just know a lot.
What's
like,
the test?
Is this person an asshole? I was sitting there and it's kind of quiet and getting ready to do the scene. And I'm like, Clint, is there any chance that my character could have a large raven on his shoulder for this scene? And he just went, And I was like, "That you're my guy now." Okay.
Wow.
And then after that we laughed all day long. And then we sat and talked about music for a while because I was playing my guitar. And we talked about music for about 20 minutes. And then I played him the entire Smith song, The Headmaster Ritual.
Wow.
And he just sat. So Clint Eastwood just sat there like bopping his head.
Well, he was sleeping.
He was not asleep. He was awake.
Sorry.
He was very, very, I was lulling him to sleep.
Here's the question.
I did not sing it, though.
Is he going to know who you are tonight?
Very unlikely.
Oh, very. Really?
No, of course not. He's going to know. He's going to go, "Oh, that guy."
Yeah. Oh, there's that guy.
Where's your bird?
Oh, that hey, big bird guy. There's that little
should have put the raven.
This little fruity little guy. He was singing me the Smiths.
When I was wanted
it's
to
like
be.
They were never the same after Johnny and everything.
It's like the Pogues.
When I wanted to be an actor.
I live around the corner from one of the Pogues.
Shane McGowan.
You want to get into that? Not Shane. But I live around the corner from a Pogue.
I had to perform for Shane one time in a
oh my god
in a points. Living room, just him. He'd just done a couple of drugs in the next room to wake up. He was going to perform.
Yeah, that's how you do
and
it.
And he comes
by
in.
The way, that's as I've been in show business for a long time. The only way to wake up is to, generally just,
the
you take some
to
drugs.
Success.
Yeah, and then you take more drugs to go to sleep.
Okay.
And by the way, this is fine. It's been proven and tested.
Yeah.
And if you Google a picture of Shane McGowan. Do you know,
he'll
okay,
prove your point
have you
right
ever
there.
Been in the grocery store and they've got that thing called tofurkey?
Yes.
And it's like a gray tofu that's supposed to taste like turkey?
Yes.
That's Shane McGowan's skin is made of that same material, which is gray non-turkey.
Yeah. It's wow. non-GMO.
So, okay. Set the scene. What's the year of this event?
This is 7 years ago.
Okay, that checks out.
And it was over right off of going down the hill from the Comedy Store. There's like a little hotel over back over there to the side.
And it's called the Sunset Marquee?
Yes, Sunset Marquee.
That's very interesting. You know, the only reason I know that is because that's where a lot of really big-time rock
yeah,
stars stay.
They do.
If you come to L.A. and you want to see some very, very yep. famous rock stars, check out the Sunset Marquee. They will,
it's a
security
a little gem.
Will shoo you away.
People don't know about it.
No.
Yeah.
When I first got to L.A., the waitresses in the bar, which is called the Whiskey Room, or what it was just called, the Whiskey
that
Room.
Little dark bar?
Little yeah. dark bar. They wore just a gray catsuit. Mm. It was the single most inappropriate thing you've ever seen in your entire... It was just a Walking American Apparel ad. It was very inappropriate.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so...
Yeah, a buddy of mine knew him. We wandered back in there, and his manager met us in the living
so
room.
So you've come from Santa Monica, where you live.
Yeah, come from... Yeah.
This checks out.
Come from P-Town.
Okay, so you're dripping in PJ. You're literally just sticky. You're just rolling. You're rolling as sticky.
I'm doing, I'm doing Michael Douglas impersonations all the way up the stairs,
yeah.
you know?
Perfect.
And I get into the living room, and then the manager's like, "I'm going to go wake up Shane," you know? So he goes in the other room. And from my perception, audibly, mm-hmm. I heard, but it sounded
fuck
like.
Fuck out of you. Yeah. Are you all fucking.
Yes.
And
then was Clint Eastwood there? Clint Eastwood was there.
No, that's Kirk Douglas who was
oh,
there.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Getting well confused.
He had so many characters.
And then he came in the living room.
Oh, fine.
Yes.
Oh.
And my buddy's like, he's a comedian. And it's, yeah. and he's like, oh, do it. Please, Thomas.
If you're not going to go ahead and get a comedian, all right?
Yeah.
I'm a nice man. Fair job, New York.
Yeah. Then he goes,
New York.
He does not, the dude's not okay.
Then he laughed.
Yeah.
So I start telling jokes, right? Like a fucking moop, you know?
Wait. So you're doing a live set.
I don't know what else to
it
do.
It wasn't even like
you're just doing a live set for Shane McGowan.
Yes.
This is fucked.
And then he goes,
yeah.
He kept laughing just like that, like Voldemort's little buddy.
Well, like white noise?
He's been smoking, the guy's been smoking like 5 packs a day since.
It was baffling.
1972?
Yeah. It was baffling, and that
he's
was
the kind
it,
of smoker
man.
That I dream about.
And that, yeah.
Well, I used to be. You guys ever smoke? No,
I smoke sometimes.
I used to smoke a lot.
Really?
Oh
really?
Yeah. I used to
actually,
like
one of the questions that one of our fans asked was, mm-hmm. "Did you take up smoking? Get addicted to cigarettes for futile and
here's that's a very interesting
gesture.
Question. I forgot we're taking questions from. So
no,
for
that's
futile
okay,
gesture, because I used to smoke 3 packs a day. When we did Reno 911, I would smoke
what?
About 3 packs a day. I was just a crazy heavy smoker.
Wow.
It sucked. I was a real junkie. And I quit. I was off for like 10 years. And I fucking fell off the wagon when I was doing a movie. And it's really hard on a movie because you just stand. Most of movies is just standing around.
Yeah.
And like making small talk, which is the dream scenario for having cigarettes.
Right? Yeah.
So I got hypnotized, and it worked really, really well. And then I had to smoke in Futile Gesture, and I did, and it didn't stick.
Really?
I didn't get hooked again. Mm. I don't know how.
Well, did you have like an adverse reaction to it because of the hypnosis? Because sometimes like the hypnosis,
you didn't. You get a little sick.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If you haven't smoked in a while and then you smoke some cigarettes, you will get like you'll get that turkey.
Get green.
You get tofu face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just stopped, right?
You get a little Shane in your McGowan.
Yeah. Are you still smoking or are you just
I stopped? Smoked yesterday.
Oh.
So, yeah. Well, but I didn't smoke today.
But I didn't smoke today.
Well, see, that's like a superpower I don't have. Shane McGowan, you'll watch him on stage. And by the way, Philip Chevron, the other dude in the Pogues, literally died of lung cancer last of throat cancer last year. Mm. So it's like, hey, there's a pretty good wake-up call.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, but no, Shane, to my knowledge, has never stopped.
He could be dead and still alive.
I don't think Dylan... To my knowledge, Dylan ever stopped smoking?
Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like Dylan still smokes. He might not.
Michael Douglas died.
No, he didn't.
He's not dead.
What are you talking about?
He's covered in Santa Monica PJ.
You're right. My bad. Yeah.
What I love about Thomas, he's multifaceted in this business. Yeah. A writer, an actor, a director, all that. So you know all sides of it. So your advice. And you've even written books about writing.
We wrote a best-selling book about screenwriting.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Guys, I haven't scored you guys either any points in a little while. But I'm just...
That means you're enjoying yourself.
I'm delighted by both of you, so I don't really know how to do this.
Okay, well, it's all right.
Where were you in...
You're both standing at about 19, 20, or 15, 16.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm going to give you 18 each right now.
Fair enough.
If you guys can see Thomas's score sheet, it's
you look like that lady on the plane playing the orchestra. Futile and Stupid Gesture, which is on at Netflix right now. You can see it.
The billboard's right down the street.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's about Doug Kenny and the creation of National Lampoon's, right?
This was. It wasn't something I knew a lot about because I think my parents... definitely kept me away a little bit from the National Lampoon because I was unaware of how dirty the National Lampoon was.
Yeah.
Have you seen one lately? It's almost like half Playboy, half Mad Magazine. Like, it's just lots of, like, naked people partying.
Did they buy each other? Did one of those companies buy the other one?
That's a possibility.
Mad Magazine and National Lampoon?
We almost partnered up with Playboy for a while. Wasn't it the same? I thought it was...
It's entirely possible. I play Michael O'Donohue, who was... writer. He was sort of like a playwright and a really intense guy in New York. And
he wrote head writer of SNL, right?
Yeah, yeah. He also wrote like a really dirty comic book. And then he came into the National Lampoon and he wrote a lot of their like super provocative, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
He seemed tightly wound and seemed crazy, but was actually kind of lovely. But he carried around like a stick just to break things. And they were all, they all did, I think, fair amount of drugs.
I think so.
The movie covers a lot of just like bowls of cocaine around.
Wow. And that wasn't going on while you were filming. I mean, that wasn't a get into character sort of thing.
In this era, no. With us, it was mostly, it was like Joel McHale doing like bench dips and stuff. Have you seen it yet?
I saw it last night.
Because here's what's so amazing. A lot of like comedians play other comedians.
Yeah. It's interesting.
And some are more perfect than others, I think. I'm just doing Michael O'Donohue. Two things. Not that many people other than diehards know what he looks and sounds like. So that was easy for me because I also can look and sound like him. But Joel as Chevy is really amazing.
Yeah, Joel
it's
plays
so
Chevy
weird.
Chase.
Joel McHale plays Chevy Chase. And with like a really zen level of nuance to it. That
the irony being that Joel was on Community with Chevy Chase. Who wasn't
for years.
Apparently the nicest guys and all that.
Doesn't like being part of a community.
I have no stamina. This is how TMZ gets you, and they try to lure you into saying something amazing.
You're exactly right.
Every single time they're like, oh my God, don't you hate her new record? And I'm like, wait, who? What the fuck? The reason I'm on TMZ so much is one day at the Grove, like 8 years ago now, somebody tried to ask me a question. And I was like, I'm just going to kick you in the balls.
Yeah.
And then Breckenmeyer walked by, and I'm like, hey, let's start a fight with Breckenmeyer. So I call Breckenmeyer a phony. I know Breckenmeyer is a lovely guy. But I'm like, you fucking Hollywood phony. And then so we started a fight. And then I realized that if I let the TMZ camera guys ask you a question, they will drag you to hell. Because it's always about somebody's botched plastic surgery or who fucked up something recently or who did something stupid. And that's when I decided I'm going to swim at them like a shark. You know that a great white shark, if you swim at it, it will swim away?
No.
A great white shark has never met anything that swims at it, ever.
What?
It's been proven.
Yeah.
If you swim in a great white shark, it will freak the fuck out and be like, what is this thing that's not afraid of great white sharks?
Seems like a pretty easy solution. I feel like people would be doing that.
There's a guy who does it.
Yeah.
Watch Shark Week. There's a guy who's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to walk over at this fucking thing.
Yeah.
All right. And well, you're going to see that guy's story. You're not going to see the guy who swam to it and was, you know, his leg bit
100% of times, go test it. Yep. Kids, yep. If you're around sharks. If you've got chum, mm-hmm. swim in a great white shark. It will swim away 100%, or your money, whatever amount you spend on this podcast, which is
nil.
A lot.
I want to know, I have asked other people on the podcast this, what does Zac Efron smell like?
Money and
really?
Success. He's just a delight.
You were in the movie 17 again. He was he wasn't underage then, right?
It would never occur to me what his age was at the
maybe
time.
Maybe I shouldn't ask this
maybe
question.
Maybe this was, you just sort of tipped your hand a little bit.
Yeah,
I never, okay. Never when we were working together was I thinking, is he of age?
Well, he's the boy.
And I'm going to let him.
Precious boy. Is he of age? Because otherwise they will if I take him to my lair.
No, I never
swim. Okay.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that pedophilia trumps racist. Is that fair?
Wait, no.
I'm off the hook.
Point. No
so the question was, what does that everyone smell like?
And where's the boy of age?
Of snakes and snails and puppy dog tears.
Okay, so first time I met Zach, I read with him for that movie, and he came to the audition, like
Thomas
the casting. I just moved straight ahead.
Yeah, move on.
He came to the casting place, and he was a little bit late because he was being pursued by so many paparazzis.
Wow!
Like
that's why you were late today, right?
That's why I was 43 minutes late today. But also, we're gonna go way over, so it'll be fun.
It's okay.
Yeah. So. And he was a lovely cat. We had a really nice time. And one year, he asked to borrow the actual Lieutenant Dangle outfit for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah. No one's ever done that. But Zac Efron's like, can I?
And you said
he's
yes?
Like, of course I said, fucking, of course yeah.
So what
yes.
did it smell like when you got it back?
It had been dry cleaned.
Oh.
Yeah. Well. Which, as soon as it came back in the dry cleaning, I'm like, well, this took away added value.
Now you're speaking
my
language.
Where's the fucking sweat equity, you asshole?
Where's the
I'm supposed to eBay this shit later, and I'd be like, yeah.
Oh, no, are you because you worked on Baywatch, right?
Ben and I wrote the first, we wrote, a couple years of drafts on that.
Really?
And then, like most Hollywood movies, then you so we wrote the draft that made The Rock want to do the movie.
Uh-huh.
And then the way that we got rewarded for that is you're immediately fired.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how? I mean,
we were basically, The Rock was like, yeah, great, want to do it. And then, well, it's not fair because the head of the studio also got fired. So we were but you're always in a process of being either replaced or replacing someone in studio movie writing is.
Really?
It's a fucking crazy job.
Wow, yeah. Shark Tank.
And hard to keep.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. And it's just interesting here from someone with such success. Yeah.
Well, that's what we wrote a book. If you ever really think about writing movies in Hollywood, I really recommend our book. It's called Writing Movies for Fun and Profit. But on the front page, fun and is crossed out. So the actual title of the book is Writing Movies for Profit.
Mm. Wow, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to throw out a couple others to you.
Sure.
We had Cedric on.
Cedric Yarbrough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of hinted at a possible Reno 911 reunion.
I can't imagine that at some point we won't do it.
Yeah.
I know we have an idea for it. Mm. We have an idea that we really, really like a lot.
For a film?
For a film.
Yeah.
And whether it would be a film or... I don't know what... Everybody wants to do it, including Wendy, to whom I've apologized.
Wendy Williams?
Or Wendy McClendon.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You're not going to bring Wendy Williams in for this one?
I can't imagine why we wouldn't. just to keep it daytimey, just to get that daytime feel.
I could see her in audience.
Yeah, but, I mean, we had, we sort of broke up the band in season 5, and people were very, very upset about it. And, I take responsibility for that. It was in sort of an icky way it all happened, and I've subsequently made friends again with all the people that got replaced on the show, which was a bad decision, I know, and a hard decision. But it's like sometimes, when you're in a group of people working together, you can get really, like, it's like bands. They just, you always end up,
of course,
like, getting frustrated.
Sometimes.
It's like work. It is. It's like, it's the state, our comedy group, is more like my family sometimes than my family. I mean, we've been together I've certainly known them longer. I've known like David Wayne, Ken Marino, Joe Truglio since for 30 years.
Are you guys still technically together?
We've never, I mean, occasionally we do stuff, but we always are doing things in, you know, like I'm in David's movie now. I'm actually, the next movie I'm in is Ken Marino's movie.
Dog Days.
Dog Days coming out, yeah. So, we do a lot together. Yeah. I mean, David and I just did like a sketch show at Sketchfest over this last weekend, so we're always trying stuff.
So it was up to you whether the show stayed or didn't stay?
No, we did get canceled, but we replaced some of the cast at the end of season 5, which was a crazy unpopular move, mm-hmm. and not a good move, but it was due to like just being
right
frustrated and not seeing the big picture. But subsequently, so the answer is when the Reno 911 thing does come together again, which I can't imagine it would not. I've talked to everybody and everybody would like to do it.
Do people ever call it Reno 911 to you?
All the time. If people mostly call it Reno 911, and then I always just get a tiny bit bummed.
I would assume.
And then I do. Then I'm like, oh.
But it also kind of gives a different connotation to it.
That's also. But we did keep the. You know, the legal title has an exclamation
right.
Point. Right. Right. So yeah.
I would imagine that. You're doing Puppet Master.
I am in the remake of the Puppet. Boy, I'm in a lot of movies coming out.
You are. What's up with Puppet Master?
Have you seen the old Puppet Masters?
Oh yeah.
Old Puppet Master. If you haven't seen it, at least go to YouTube and watch the trailer.
No.
But you know who it is? It's the William Hickey.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
is
yeah.
Is the
old man. Yeah, exactly. That guy is like, this guy is in every old weird movie.
And he's like really weird.
Right around with Shane McGowan and Clint Eastwood there. Yeah.
Puppet Master. Sorry, I hurt myself doing William Peggy. That's a crazy movie. I'm really excited to see. I've seen some rough cuts of it. But
awesome.
So it's that was the like 80, they made like 12 or 14 of them.
Yeah, tons.
And there's little puppets and they're super violent. Like it's like not, there's nothing cute about it.
That's awesome.
They're like little awful little Nazis and they kill you and you gotta try to kill them.
And then Heather Graham did a movie?
I'm in a movie with Heather Graham that she wrote and directed that's really funny called Half Magic. And it's like a comedy. It's Molly Shannon's in it and Heather Graham. And it's just like hilarious and I really, really laughed a ton.
Hmm.
So, and it's also, there's something
Who
about
knew?
It that's
Heather
very,
Graham.
Yeah, I know, super funny. Yeah. But I think that kind of comes up. It's like, sometimes I think when, you know, she's so strikingly beautiful that I think you probably people don't expect like, hey, you're going to write and direct like a great comedy.
Right.
Like they're just like, oh, you're going to be, and the movie's kind of about that too, which is like, you'll be in the movie and then we'll throw blood on you and then you run around in your underwear. Like, and it's about like not having to sort of put up with that kind of
thing. Okay. This is my last thing that I want to do.
Okay.
I'm going
to
name some of
guys,
your
guys. I got nowhere to go, you know.
Yeah, but
I the whole afternoon is just slotted out for this.
No, you have a premiere to go to.
Yeah.
Not for a
while.
At
the Jeff Ross Theater.
Yeah, but you got to get there.
It is at the weird thing is it's at the Jeff Ross Theater, so he roasts you while you watch the movie.
While you're watching yourself acting in the movie,
You get a live roast.
Okay, so I want to
yes.
I'm going to name a co-star and I just want you to say like the first adjective
like,
or something.
Like word association.
Yes, word association.
Sure.
And now these are people who are in movies with you. I'm not 100% sure that you shared scenes with them, but we'll
know right away.
Number one, Lindsay Lohan.
Underestimated.
Hmm. Christopher Walken.
Legitimate kook.
I love it. Christian Bale.
Funnier than you expect.
Really?
Can I say like a short sentence like that?
Yeah.
Because Bale, here's the thing about Bale, and I think he loves to have that look of, you know, being like, you know, sort of haunted figure. He's absolutely hilarious.
Really?
Oh, he's made me laugh really, really hard. Because I did that. I did Dark Knight with him.
Yeah.
Where I had like one scene. But that was like, you know, it was like a day. And then I did that really weird Terrence McNally movie.
Oh, Night Cup.
Yeah,
Cup,
I don't know what the hell that
Night
thing
of
was.
Cups.
That was so weird. But I had to improvise. Me and
Julia.
Yeah.
Terrence Malick, not Terrence McNally.
What did I say?
Terrence
did I say
McNally.
Terrence McNally?
Yeah.
Terrence Malick.
Different type of movie.
Sorry. Terrence Malick. So I had to improvise. Me and Joe Latruglio and Christian Bale just walked around improvising for like 12 hours.
Wow.
He's really, really funny. When the tape of him screaming came out,
yeah.
First of all, most actors, I think like myself included, were like, yeah, that sounds about right. It's like, yeah, of course, don't walk through the shot.
Mm-hmm.
I was many times as mad as that. It's just not on tape.
Just not. Yeah. Okay. Will Smith.
Will Smith. Here's a cool thing about Will Smith, about Big Willie. So, who probably doesn't know who I am, but we were in Hancock together.
Yes.
And he's my litmus test of when you meet the most famous people in the world, what are they like?
Yes.
And the middle, I find the middle of show business can get real shitty and weird. Like, there's a lot of weirdos in the middle.
Right.
But once you get to the top, it starts getting a little rarefied, and people are often there for kind of a good reason.
Hmm.
For example, so we were shooting Hancock, a wonderful picture. That's I got a funny story about that, by the way. We're shooting downtown at this, like, restaurant, and Will Smith would come to set. You know, he's got his own car that takes him back and forth to his beautiful trailer. But he would come to set like 15 or 20 minutes early just so he could go down the line and shake hands with these 600 people that have lined up across the street because they heard that Will Smith's filming a movie.
Wow.
And he just would walk down the line and say hi to basically everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. And well, I was like,
can you imagine the germs that get it?
So many germs.
That's gross. And then of course,
he Purells, I'm sure.
I'd kick him out of the plane.
I was like, oh, that's
the guy.
That's how you be a movie star. Right.
Yeah, but I find that maybe
these are like these are all votes,
right?
Or don't they protest too much? I don't know.
Who's that?
People who are overtly overly kind. Do you ever wonder what are they hiding?
Well, there aren't that many of those, by the way.
That's true.
People in Hollywood who are super super kind.
Okay, Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake. That's so funny. I was just thinking about him yesterday because, of course, he did a wonderful halftime show there. I'd never really met him on Bad Teacher, and then. On the like the press day of Bad Teacher, he pretended like he knew me, and it was like giving me a gift.
Oh, that's
he was
really
like,
sweet.
He came up and he's like, "Oh, hey, man," and I'm getting a little choked up talking about.
Oh, that's very nice.
But no, it was just one of those funny things, which is sometimes you see people and they just like don't remember you at all.
Like Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston, I never met.
Oh, never.
Never, I've never met her.
How about Cameron Diaz?
Oh,
Oh,
the most
That was great.
The most physically impressive on a man or woman set of legs I've ever seen.
Mm.
Just for physical strength.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember how your gorgeous pecs dominated the first part of the interview? Her legs are so strong.
Wow.
She could definitely kill a pretty big person.
With her
legs. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, I'll end with one final one.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry gave me the gift of a really great run. I wish we had done more. It's weird because there's shows now that are doing ratings that like aren't quite as good as we were doing.
This is the Odd Couple.
Yeah, when we did the Odd Couple, it was a great run, and I made really good friends, and it was fun. Yeah.
All right, so where do we stand score wise? But as you draw your American flags,
we're still at
we're tied at
20.
Okay, tied at 20. Mm-hmm. So Theo, what is our last round?
Our last round is since
please be push-ups because I know who's getting this.
since
it's push-ups or planks,
I will take it.
Mr. Lennon just wrote the remake, a first draft for Cannonball Run.
Oh, okay, you're pitching teams.
And Matt and I each get to pick four people that would be in our car that was going across the country to win the race.
Done.
And he's going to decide which had the best group.
Okay.
And if we get one person right, you don't have to tell us who it is, who we got right, but
you
can say at
the
end.
The odds that you will is, I think, fairly high.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's pretty high.
Oh, really?
Well,
all you have to say it's The Rock.
Right.
Zac Efron.
Ryan
Reynolds.
Doing this till five, either way.
Okay, we're going to finish on time. Okay.
So three other people and me or four other people and me?
Three. You're not in it?
Oh, I'm not in the car?
You can be.
I want to be in the car.
You're giving up a pretty good spot.
Yeah, you can't be.
That's okay. By the way,
egomania.
Put yourself in the fucking car.
I'm in the car.
Okay, you're in
the car. But who are the other three?
So.
Well, my three
uh-huh.
in my car. I'm trying to figure out what the car would be, but Bette Midler,
uh-huh.
Cher,
mm-hmm.
and Barbra Streisand.
Oh,
wow.
That was like...
Well, obviously, you're going to be driving because they can't even stay awake, any of those ladies.
I'm just picturing the car.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was a movie kind of like this called Guilt Trip.
Guilt Trip.
Basically just kind of pitched the Seth Rogen movie Guilt Trip.
Oh, with Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
this is
oh, no, but I'm adding Bette and Cher.
Right.
That's the fucking...
And what kind of car is this?
That I don't know. Maybe we could get Herbie out.
Okay. By the way, if we can get these ladies interested and you're going to do it, I could probably get access to the car.
Perfect.
We just get a shitload of white wine. And
God,
we
oh my
do
God,
this thing,
yes.
And we just start shooting.
Wouldn't this be the best?
Before we even know what it's about.
No? You guys aren't on board.
I mean, there's
Anthony
a very certain crowd
on
that's
going
to dig this movie.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Good. Diversify.
Are you...
There's so many cars in that movie. One of them could be filled with these gay icons.
Here's what I'm going to say. So what happens is Cher's accidentally given away a Bob Mackie dress that had like she finds out they weren't fake.
Oh, this is the plot.
Rhinestones.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just giving you like a, what's their motivation?
Oh, got it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And Bette Midler's like, I'm coming because you're all a bunch of old ladies who sang that gay guys love. And then they just go.
Okay. Yeah. And all right, great.
It's called the Curse of Mackie's Gold.
Here's the thing,
the
though.
Curse of Bob
they don't
Mackie's
know who
gold.
Bob. He has no idea who Bob Mackie is.
Of course
Mackie
he doesn't
is.
Know who Bob Mackie is.
Do you know who Bob Mackie is?
Bob there? Mackie tennis?
Come on. Okay, go. Okay, so you got the diva vehicle.
Yes.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm picturing.
I feel
like
you're driving a vehicle called
a Corolla,
called the Nissan Diva, which I know doesn't exist, but
it should.
Now it does.
Thomas,
it
this shit writes itself.
Okay, the movie's called Nissan Diva.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Theo, who's Theo? In your car?
Okay, my car has Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish, sure.
Amy Schumer,
sure.
Sean William Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty, is it Ross or White?
Yeah. Wait, Betty
Betsy
Ross?
Betsy Ross sewed the American flag like several hundred years ago.
Betty White?
Betty White.
Betty White.
Cool. Your car is closer to getting greenlit. That's like without a doubt, that's true. So am I giving you a point for that?
I don't know. Whose car? What's
car is going to get greenlit.
So that maybe that's not the criteria. The criteria is whose car would you rather be in?
No, that's there's no question about this.
Oh.
Well, I feel like I'm just going to annoy Bette Midler and Cher. Like, they've got shit they want to talk about, and you're there. So you're there, like, just flexing and stuff. I don't want to be in that vehicle.
Okay.
I don't think. That's, right. That's too long of a ride.
Okay.
But, by the way, your Theo's car could be a little bit of a long ride, too, depending on if the air works and stuff, because it's a chatty bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got some chatty.
Very chatty.
You got some chatters in your car.
That Betty White doesn't shut up.
I'm still giving you that's
oh, so he won that?
Theo won that round.
Oh, ergo, the winner of the podcast.
Oh, just that one? That was the only round?
Yeah,
that's
the only round. So
I should have divided the points, but yeah.
So
we're doing the Curse of Mackie's Gold.
Yeah, see?
This is great.
Perfect.
Four divas, one Herbie.
And Matt.
And Matt with his glistening pecs.
Okay.
On their way to Needles, Nevada.
And this episode is brought to you
by... No, we'd be going to San Fran or something. Right?
No, you're
going to,
yeah.
Oh, we have to go to the Gay Pride Parade.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's a different film.
I have to get them in there on time. You'll
probably get pulled over by Lieutenant Dangle in this movie. Like, oh my God, yeah, it's Quain.
I have to get them there on time. I love this movie.
Wait, what time do you have to get them?
I don't know. Them? They're going to go on and perform together.
They all turn into pumpkins at midnight, I think, it sounds like.
Thomas Lennon, thank you for coming in here.
Guys, I'm so sorry that I was 43 minutes late. It's been an amazing time.
Well,
everybody... I will say, so I was supposed to be here from like 3 to 5?
No.
There's no way I would do a podcast that long. Yeah, there's no way. There's just no way.
We just have a book from 3 to 5 because, you know, people don't show up on time. Because
this horrifying little crypt. Do people can see us, so they know that we're in like a really creepy space.
No, we don't don't video it.
Imagine. What's that?
It's there for other people's, but we don't use it.
That's not yours?
Haven't been on the whole time, no.
It's not been on the whole time?
Nope.
Oh, I was kind of playing to the camera. Like a classic Hollywood dandy.
You're awesome, man. You're awesome.
So everybody, go see or
Half
check
Magic's
out.
Coming out.
Check out what Half Magic.
Half Magic is the Heather Graham movie,
which is when.
Really cool. I believe it's. I gotta check.
Okay. Check. In the meantime,
Vamp,
go onto Netflix. Get watch A Futile and Stupid Gesture. And are you still doing Lethal Weapon?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm about to go back in. That's why I'm gonna have a weird beard right now. So I got to go back to the mustache again.
That's not really a weird beard.
It's a little weird.
Mm.
Thank you, on behalf of the gay community, saying that my beard doesn't look that weird. Actually means a lot to me.
It counts.
That's
check
like
out
Timberlake remembering who I was. It comes out. Farts.
In the meantime, also see 15 Paris.
Shades.
15 Shades of Clint.
Of Greece.
Of Greece
to Paris.
God damn it. Oh, well, now I just found out I'm not on the poster of Half Magic.
Oh.
Trivia, storyline.
Make your own poster, maybe.
February 23rd.
February 23rd. Oh, it's coming
February
out.
February 23rd.
February
yeah,
23rd.
Pretty
awesome.
Soon. Yeah. February
23rd. And thank you for being our guest and
guys, this
giving
really
Theo
fun.
The win.
Yeah, man.
No, but I really want to be friends. Can we? Is that, like, possible?
Sure. I mean, I don't do very much, but yeah.
No, we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
kind of need to be able to tell people that I'm your friend.
Oh, no, that's fine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you can definitely say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Like, Tom and I were hanging out.
And maybe
like,
I'll send you a script every now and then.
That's fine. Here's what I found about when people send you scripts. I've made the huge mistake on a couple occasions where people are like,
being honest. Hey,
would you read me or would you give me any your thoughts? And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's probably about a little bit too long and maybe you could pick up this. And then people start looking at you like they want to murder you. And then you realize, oh, you didn't want feedback.
Yeah.
You just want me to say it's great.
Yeah.
So then what you do after that is you, when people give you stuff, you go, oh, my God, it's great.
Well, that's exactly what I want you to say to me.
I will do that every single time you send me something. I'll wait a plausible amount of time that I could have read it.
Well, I already sent
it
to you by now.
I'll pick one weird detail in the middle to, like, regurgitate back to you. It'll be like, wow, he must have, he clearly got to page 65. Because that's when the bird comes in.
Hysterical.
I'm like, man, when that fucking bird comes in the window, I was like, I didn't see that.
Wow. If only if I was kidding. But I'm not.
Guys, this has been great.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, check it out. And love you, Thomas. Love you, Theo. Love you, Anthony. A lot of love in this room.
A lot of love.
We'll see you on the road. Guys. Me, Cher, Bette, and Barbs.
Yeah, and I'll be with a couple of ladies and Sean William Scott.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
In Searchlight, Nevada.